Hi. Welcome to this Scotting Social Centre workshop. Basically, we're going to spend the 45 minutes that we've got talking about different social centres that have happened in Sheffield. Mike's going to do a presentation on the Temporary Autonomous Arts events that have happened for the past 2 years, which has been a really successful spotted art event for 3 days in Sheffield. I'm going to talk a bit about Scotting. I'm not a specialist, but I do know a little bit of information, and maybe if anyone can give their kind of ideas or thoughts about it. Quite relevant as well as the anti-squatting legislation that's coming through Parliament soon, which is quite a hot topic, and its effects on not just kind of the social centres but also the homeless. So Mike, have a drink, shall I join me?
Yeah, if you carry on, I'm still arguing with this.
Should we do it? Do you want to present your names? Yeah, should we start? Okay. Oh, I'm Donya.
Hi, Lisa. Rachel.
I'm Corin.
Del. Dave.
Nice weather we're having.
Yeah, let's put a positive thing on it rather than
I'm just going to go through some of the main points about if you do want to set up a squat and some of the things that you'll need to be aware of. And just start, first of all, squatting basically just means occupying an empty building. Normally, people do relate it to homeless people, but there are really successful movements all over Britain where there are long-term kind of social centres and things like that. So again, just to identify like the differences, we've got social centres, but squatting is also something that is used by homeless people, by travellers, by lots of different types of socio-economic cultural backgrounds and stuff. I'm using a basic guide that the advisory service for squatters uses. It's the ASS. It's a really, really important kind of source of information. They're based in London. They've got an amazing website. If you ever need to know anything, if you just check them out, give them a call. They're really friendly. You can find out anything you want. So first thing, squatting is still legal in the UK. It's not a crime, although there are some issues that could crop up where the police will try to evict you and tell you that you are committing a crime, and we'll go through them in a bit. And the most important thing is to understand that squatting is a civil matter, and that means that it's something that is between the squatter and the owner of the building. Okay, it's not a criminal act. The owners have got legal ways and procedures to evict you in the same way that you also have legal rights to be there. And the legal kind of clause that we use is Section 6 of the Criminal Act. What this basically means is that it makes it an offence to force an entry into a building which is occupied, and this does include squats as well. So it gives you the right to be there, but it also protects you. And basically the first thing that you should do if you ever do want to squat is to make sure that you do print off some Section 6s and to get them up all around the building where it's public. I've got a few printed off. If people have never seen them, they look a bit like this. It just says, legal warning, take notice that we live in this property and it is our home and we intend to stay here, and that at all times there are at least one person in this property. Anyway, I'll just pass it around.
I mean, one of the... because it is basically a page of text that you can stick in a window, it's not actually that obvious to most people walking past. I've seen some people do it in handwriting with a little anarchy sign, and that just seems really stupid, because whereas a page of text that you've just printed out on a thing, unless you actually go to see what it is. The other thing that people are often chucked out of squats for is stealing a laptop. So it's quite a good idea to get the electricity and gas, if you're about to get that going, into either your name or a pseudonym.
Sorry,
Mike,
can I stop you there? Never do it in your name. Sorry, pseudonym. Get that bit.
In a pseudonym.
I'm going to go through that, Mike. Never
do it. Okay, cool. We're up and running here, by the way, if you're...
Okay, finding a building, there's thousands of empty properties everywhere. Sheffield, there's loads. Really, it's about going out and scouting out, finding appropriate places, Basically, the most important thing really is, you know, to find somewhere where hopefully there is running water and electricity, because that makes your Lara's a hell of a lot easier. And also making sure that it's not intended to be occupied, or there is somebody there, or if you think it's like a warehouse, make sure there's no business kind of running there. These are quite important things, because I'll go through them, but the methods that they can use to evict you, basically, that will kind of be dependent on that. You can also go on the, what's it called? The land register online, and you can find out who is the owner of the building, find out whether they have any intentions of developing it, what their plans are. You know, do your research. You know, if you really, you know, really look into it, so at the end of the day, you know, you get to stay there for as long as you intend to or would like to. So getting into a building, a lot of empty properties can be walked kind of straight in through. A lot of the time they've already been vandalised, so there's already been people in there, and there could be, you know, broken windows, things like that, that you could climb through. Most important thing is that you don't want to commit criminal damage, because that's the thing that the police can basically get you out on and also arrest you for causing criminal damage. Obviously they'll need to have witnesses there, because you could just always say, well, you know, that wasn't me. A lot of the time, you know, basically, you know, if there's an open window, you know, they can't prove, say, that, you know, you've broken it. So if it's a broken window, they can't prove that you've broken it. So just make sure you keep your story straight, and you should be fine. Once you're in, first thing is to change or secure the locks. And that's on every door, to make sure that, you know, you're in control of who's coming in and who's going out. So that's not just to protect you kind of physically, but legally as well. And if there are quite a lot of repairs to be done, you know, it's quite a good thing if you kind of start sorting that all out. You know, you're going to be living there, try and get, you know, if there's some pipes broken, try and get that fixed. If there's no running water in the toilet, you know, try and get a mate who's a plumber or something, you know, make that all, make it safe, basically. If the police turn up, the police should know, hopefully, you know, that squatting is a civil matter, and that squatters have the same rights to protection as anybody else. Don't open the door to them, you don't have to open the door to them, and when you've got the legal warning up, they should be intelligent enough to realise that you are the intended occupiers of that property. Next thing, I think they try and trip you up, try and say to you that you've caused criminal damage and all of these things, but again, just make sure you keep your story straight. You've not committed any criminal damage, you are the legal occupier, you intend to stay there. And the next thing, what Mike talked about was, another thing that they can evict you on is abstraction, and that means stealing electricity illegally. So the most important thing, again, is to call up the meter point reference and find out who the supplier is, and then try and get an account set up in a pseudonym. Never give your own name, because, you know, you don't really want to be billed for hundreds or thousands of pounds. You know, who knows what the bill has been there before, you know. And again, you know, the police, you know, be polite, be firm. You know, they're not... You know, they're going to try and, like, you know, blame you, tell you that you're doing the wrong thing. But if you be civil and nice and friendly, not only do you kind of get, make them go away, but you also kind of give squatters a good name as well, not being these, like, crazy, you know, mental people.
And also, don't assume that the police are going to give you a hard time, because I think both temporary autonomous arts are going to help. They haven't at all. So.
Yeah, but if you do get arrested, obviously know that you have the right to a solicitor. ASS, based in London, do have a good list of solicitors in London. I'm from London, I don't know whether there is a list like that exists in Sheffield, but if we contact ASS, we'll probably find out. And just basic rights, like if you do get arrested, make sure that you know that you can make one phone call, and the police have to release you within 24 hours or charge you. And you don't have to tell them anything other than your name, address and date of birth. Okay, next thing, actually living in the squat, making sure that people are there, it's never left empty. Because if it is left empty, then the owner can come in and actually try to do that. So it's really important if you do want to support, you have a good kind of group and you all know each other really well and you all understand what, like, the kind of, like, you know, what can happen if you all leave at the same time and things like that. Again, next bit is making sure, you know, all your utilities and things like that are in order. Take meter readings, you know, just cover your backs in every single way. Neighbours, really important to not piss off your neighbours, yeah. Like, you don't want to alienate them, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be making loads of noise at night, you know, you're somewhere for you to stay, especially if you're having a social centre and you're going to be open to the public and things like that. You really want a good relationship with your neighbours, because they could take up basically a campaign against you. And, you know, I've been in a lot of situations where it's turned quite evil and, you know, no one, you know, in the area, like, likes you, and, you know, people make your life hell, and it's just not very nice, really. So speak to your neighbours, go knock on their doors, tell them that why you're there, what you're doing, you know, things like that. Okay. So just to go on to the next bit about eviction, which is probably one of the important things, is how they can get you out of the spot. There's a few different kind of ways that they can do it, so I'll just go through them, and it's a bit like jargon and things like that, but it's quite straightforward. First of all, you can be evicted if nobody is in. I've already mentioned that. Secondly, you can be evicted if the place was not really empty, and this is kind of related to more like commercial warehouses and businesses and things like that. It is rare, but sometimes, you know, they do go to court and ask for that. And the kind of order that they would ask for is a displaced residential occupier, and that's a DRO that they would apply for. And what that means is that they can get the police to come in and evict you. And they don't need any paperwork, it's really quick. Again, it's really rare, but basically relates to when there is like a big business, people who can afford to kind of get those orders. Next one, you can also be evicted on behalf of a protected intended occupier. It's called a PIO. This is someone, the tenant or the owner of the place, who was about to move in straight away but couldn't do so because you moved in and squatted it, and you prevented them doing it right at the last minute. And basically, a lot of the time, if it's a tenant of a council or a housing association, they probably need a certificate in order to get that. So again, it's kind of like, you know, minor points and things like that, but it's important to consider, because it could be that you go in squat a council tenancy or a housing association tenancy. Next thing is make sure that you're not illegally evicted. So know your rights, know the laws, know how they can come in, why they can come in to get you out. Because, you know, if you don't know and they say, oh, we've applied for blah, 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 and you get scared and you leave, but it's an illegal eviction. If you're out, you're out, and then they come in and change your locks. Usually when you do get evicted, it's for a court case. You don't have to go to court, but it is quite good to go there, try and represent yourself. Again, someone from the ASS would be really good to go with you. Again, they're based in London, but I'm sure there are people around Sheffield who do have experience and things like that. If the owners have applied for an IPO, that's an interim possession order, and they've succeeded, that means that you have to leave the property within 24 hours from when the court order is actually served. If you don't, you could be arrested. And again, that is more common than the other ones that I've mentioned. But lastly, the most common way is that the owner will apply for a possession order. Now, that can take quite a long time. They have to pay the fees for it, and then it has to go to court. And then, you know, probably, I reckon about 6 to 8 weeks that normally takes. And that gives you quite a good time to be prepared, because if you do get evicted, you know, you want like a kind of, you know, plan for where you are going to go to next, because you could just find yourself, you know, with all your stuff and nowhere to go. So, and with that one, you should get notice of when it is coming. And lastly, just to say, there is the Squatter's Handbook. It's £1.50, it's really, really good. Even if you don't squat, it's really good for like information. You can get it by contacting ASS. I'll give some of these hands out and you can see the website. It basically just, they release it every year and they update it, and it just goes through everything, like, you know, setting up your electricity, fixing your plugs, plumbing, the cost of, you know, going to court, all of this stuff. Really, really, really useful. Sorry I didn't bring any to sell, but you can have a look at one pass around. But that's basically it, just a kind of short, basic introduction to squatting. Mike,
yes, I am.
Now over to Mike.
Right, this is one sort of very pretty example of a place of squatting, temporary autonomous arts. We've started in London, and there have been temporary autonomous arts events in London, Manchester, Bristol, Sheffield,
Brighton.
So we've had 2 years so far. I'll show you some images of the event. See, it was quite a fantastic event. There's a mixture of music, art, comedy, poetry, and it's the sort of thing that you wouldn't really be able to do outside of a squatting area. There's a huge sort of sense of freedom where everybody has equal right to be in the building as anybody else. Everybody is, in fact, is pretty much an artist rather than that.
Can you talk a bit about what
TAA is? Yeah, TAA stands for Temporary Autonomous Arts, and it's based on an essay of the Temporary Autonomous Zone, which is the idea of, well, temporary is you've been there for a short amount of time, and autonomous, so sort of like I say, a place that everybody sort of has equal right and equal claim to during a temporary amount of time. So, 3 days for the actual event, really like a week for people who are actually sort of running, getting in and out there. There's a lot of, some of these are more relevant than others. Yes, it's not done. This hand gesture was going around last year.
So in 2010 we did one just at the bottom of the Wicker, and we took over the building and we ran kids events and we had a successful fashion show and we had loads of bands playing, and last year we had it behind the Washington. That one was felt a bit more like a social centre. It was running at the same time as the Anarchist Book Fair as well, so that's quite good because we had quite a lot of political people. We don't really, as such, have kind of political talks there. We kind of really? The actual art of squatting and things like that, and taking over a space and changing it, and skill sharing, and kind of like expressing your political ideals through the art form.
I mean, officially, the Temporary Autonomous Arts movement doesn't have a political belief. It does, but obviously, the people involved in it have political beliefs. But there isn't an official political standpoint that the Temporary Autonomous Arts has. Say and then put that slide up. Obviously, by the fact that we are in squatted buildings.
I was actually, I don't know if anybody else is closed now, but there was a consultation on squatting, which I managed to call up there.
And amongst the questions they asked is if you think that temporary squatting should be different from main squatting. I mean, the thing is, you can really read through it, and you can read the questions aiming you towards a certain answer. It sort of pretty much in every single question says that squatting is a negative thing.
Are we actually still do it?
What's that?
No, that's not what I
want
to
have. I thought this was the dealing with squatters question. No, that's not what I want. There was recently, because the laws on squatting are going to change soon. So we're not sure what they're going to change to. I did fill in a questionnaire on the consultation chain, and one thing they're sort of saying, I think the thing is with saying that squatting laws should deal with people who do it for a short amount of time differently to large numbers of people who do it for a longer time, is it means that, yeah, it's good for sort of parties and stuff like that to be able to squat a building for a short period of time. When it becomes, if you're actually looking for somewhere to live, then it's really not a lot of use to say, oh yeah, you can live for a week, you know. Nobody can really live that time.
So they had an anti-squatting legislation consultation.
Yeah.
Did everyone hear about that?
Yeah.
And like Mike was saying, they're basically trying to criminalise it. So, you know, that basically potentially means thousands of people become homeless in the UK. He talked about how there's quite a lot of negative responses, but Crisis did a really good response in the consultation. And they talked about how... It's not actually. He didn't even mention social centres or anything like that. It's the percentage of people, homeless people, who actually use squatting as a method of living. The number of Eastern European people from A10 accession states coming to the UK and not basically having any recourse to public funds, which means they can't get any benefits or anything like that. They're working for £2 an hour, and they can't afford the rents. And it was really interesting. Really interesting response, just showing the reality of the effects of what would happen if squatting becomes illegal. And then on top of that, you've got all the political people as well, all the really, you know, long-term established kind of social centres around the country. And yeah, just wondering, I don't know if people want to have a little discussion about that. Does anyone want to say something about...
Has anyone... Who here has filled in this consultation? Anyone apart from me?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about what you wrote?
And I've never encountered any like really scary squatters that are up at night time. Like, they make the area better and stop buildings falling into dereliction and stuff.
Well, it's slightly different, but I'm from Holland, and since October it is actually criminalised there. And I could tell maybe a little bit what happened in Holland.
Yeah, that's really good.
Because it was 1st October that it was criminalised in Holland. And in a way, it actually turned out partly better for us. Because the government wasn't really sure what they were doing. They made this new rule that squatting wasn't able or wasn't allowed anymore. But actually, that's not really possible if you put it in real society. Because cities that have to implement it, that have to actually evict people, would say, no, we don't want that, because we could see that it's better for society if people take empty spaces and just create better little societies in there. So they had problems with executing it, and also with how they set up the new law. It was not really a good law.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was actually sue the government when they evicted people and say, well, you can't do this because you made up a shitty law, and get your facts straight. What happened now is that after 1st October, if you want to evict us, they have to give us a month notice. Mm-hmm. In that month, we can go to the court and tell... this is bullshit, we live here, or anything like that, and can actually have time to prepare a case and to fight it. But still, we are dealing with criminalisation of the movement, also in media. And I think that's also very important to be aware of, how you look into, how the media sees you, and how you get filmed on television and in newspapers.
We've got the Daily Mail. They kind of do that. Yeah, it's a British newspaper which basically just says squatters are filth and, you know,
yeah,
yeah, very right wing and that's really interesting in the case of Holland. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
A month is actually probably longer than you normally get on an eviction anyway, really. That's actually going to take a month for all the court cases to happen.
Does anyone else want to ask any questions or talk about a social centre that they've been part of or anything?
You don't have to wear.
People remember the Matilda stuff. As that's gone back to the outside. I think it may well. I mean, that was the sort of seems to be the start of the social cell. The start of the, well, it seems like the social centre in Sheffield Group kind of started with the Matilda, and they've had. I think, yes, from the social centre.
I'm not from the social centre group, I was part of Matilda.
You were part of Matilda?
Yeah.
I don't really know what's going on in the social centre group, so I was hoping somebody might talk
about that. Do you want to tell the group, could you tell a bit about Matilda, please?
So in 2005, there was a G8 meeting in Glen Eagles in Scotland, and the Justice and Interior meeting ministers had a meeting in Sheffield in June, I think. And a group of people got together to resist the G8 initially, and we were coming up with national days of action and stuff like that and kind of plans for stuff, and then somebody said, oh, we've got this building we can use as a conversion centre, and it turned out this one, it used to be an art space, the Yorkshire Art Space, it was called, on Matilda Street, and then he lived on one floor, and maybe five floors.
He's moved out last year, in fact, they finally got him out of there. He's been, he's been attempting to run a music studio in there in a strange way for the previous time.
Yeah, so he was originally a legal tenant, and then they wanted to do something different with the buildings. They got rid of all of the other tenants, and he was a sitting tenant, so he kind of, it was a different legal situation from a normal squat, so we didn't have to squat sit. And so that was originally squatted just for 3 or 4 days over Convergence Centre, as a convergence space. And afterwards, so many people went to that space, were like, this is an amazing space. Like, I think it had 52 rooms to begin with. We knocked through a few walls.
Like,
and there's maybe 48 by the time we finished. there's a massive building, you can still see it on Matilda Street. And it was then all owned by Yorkshire Forward, I think, who are property developers. So it was a totally. It was a group of people who never got together a mission statement. We couldn't say that we were an anti-capitalist space. We couldn't say anything very specific about what we were. But we had a gig space which was able to have 3 different bands on at a time. We had a cafe that could serve 150 people really easily. We had a hack lab with loads of stuff going on. We held loads of gatherings. Things like various different campaigns and gatherings there. Anarchist Federation had gatherings there. Bicycle had gatherings there. People had art spaces, and there was loads of different spaces and loads of stuff going on. It was big fundraising parties, and it was amazing for the year that we had it. And it was great we could have it for such a long time and not have to squat sit and not have to feel like we were under that much threat. And yeah, then eventually it was a bit more. That was the beginning of the social that I was aware of here, and then there's a few other attempts that were squatted.
Has anyone involved in the social stuff?
Yeah. I've done it, it was 2 years ago now. We squatted the old Sheffield Uni music department, and we had that for maybe like 2 weeks, and then because it was they linked it to like university protest and occupations, they got us evicted really quickly, and then we had another building which I think was an NHS building which we had for a week, but because they were such short hold on to them. We didn't carry on after that, and we got so wrapped up in the building that like a lot of the stuff that we wanted to do never really materialised. So I haven't. And then obviously there was a free school last year, and they've been. I think there's been a lot of like looking at trying to rent or like rent buildings and like working with. Is it Radical Roots trying to do that, but I'm not sure. I've been away for months, so I'm not really sure where they're at right now. But,
Would it be useful to grab someone who is from a social service to talk?
Yeah,
please.
Please.
There you are. Go
and
grab one.
Thank you.
There's also, I don't know what the legal situation with the traveller site on ski bridges. I was just discussing aspects of crossing market and sort of tell us about what you're talking about.
I haven't really been there long
enough,
but customary.
Right, and comes back. Okay, yeah. Awesome. Brilliant. I could also say that, has anyone else got anything on subject?
I think one of the really amazing things is when people come together and do set up a squat as a social centre and things like that. So maybe out of this we could try and form kind of ideas for the future in Sheffield, because it's a shame that something like that doesn't exist. If something permanent is not here. We've got Ollie. Are you going to talk?
Well, I can if no one else.
We just wanted someone from the social centre movement to just have the group a little talk about.
Just like what's happened.
Yeah. History and what you want to do and what you hope for the future.
Okay. Well, about 2 years ago, maybe a bit more now, the social centre project in Sheffield was kind of revitalised after somewhere called Matilda was shut down, and that was a squatted social centre that was open for maybe 2 years, maybe?
One year,
sorry. Okay. Okay, cool, yeah, so then people worked together and started talking about wanting to do to get things going again. Just called a meeting of about 15 people, and we decided to organise like a two-week squatted social centre. That was almost exactly 2 years ago. And so that happened. We squatted two separate buildings. We got evicted from the first one and got evicted from the second one. Well, obviously. So a lot of people came on board after that. And then spent quite a bit of time talking about the value of squatting to run a social centre versus the value of putting time in to set somewhere permanent up. But in a legal way, and to try and emulate what's been done in places like Nottingham and Brighton, where there are cooperatively owned social centres in buildings which are in the process of being bought and obviously permanent as a result. And after those discussions, a lot of us kind of thought, well, if we're going to do this if we want to see a social centre in Sheffield that is long-lasting, then it seems like a good use of our time is to try and go down the buying building route in order to have somewhere that carries on for years and years and years. I guess that's what the energy group was at the time, especially after these 2 weeks of squats where, it wasn't like it was really difficult, but there were lots of time, but it was just one or two people there, and it was like a big demand on everyone's time, even if it was just for 2 weeks. And so we spent like a good few months, for the last year and a half, I guess, meeting up every month or so, talking about what needs to be done to register as a cooperative, and there are lots of fairly dull elements that go along with trying to buy a building. And as a result of that, then thought, well, we don't want to just talk about this all the time and not do anything else, so let's do some kind of small scale, just temporary events. And that's why the idea of doing a day long free school, or it was a weekend long last year. So that's why that came about. So now there's this kind of sort of double approach of trying to organise events on a like fairly regular basis, or like once a year or twice a year or whatever, much as any people have energy for, and also to keep on planning for a permanent social centre at the same time. And
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So you're not planning to squat?
Well, that was not like the system that was laid down in stone 2 years ago. It was just like that was what we decided.
I'm just wondering about the sign that says "Squat the World." Right, squatting is still legal, necessary, and free.
Yeah. You're not. Well, I mean, it's not me. It's not. I'm not saying like,
necessary for other people.
I'm not saying this is what this is like a fixed opinion of the group or myself. That's just in terms of the history of the last couple of years. That was the logic that played out in the meetings. Yeah, like personally, in the last few months, year, I've just been thinking, God, this is a bit of a drag, not really doing anything. It doesn't feel like I'm doing anything, just having meetings and getting a bit bored and people drifting away and not getting that engagement in it. And thinking, yeah, I would like, want to do things in the moment and stuff like that. So, no, definitely, it doesn't mean that people have ruled out the idea of a squat in their minds at all. But definitely, I feel like there's value in something that's permanent, and it seems like, or well, in this country anyway, permanent social centres are successful. From what I've seen anyway, are ones that brought. I mean, I'm sure there's examples. Yeah. Not
important. Oh, that'd be part of the thing
about the social centres. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, it's basically, they're basically like a volunteers cooperative. Anyway, so yeah, it's not necessarily like a definitive stance of the Sheffield Social Centre Group, it's just what's happened really.
Can I just say, we're planning to do a squat in Doncaster, we just need some help, some like other people that want to do a squat with us, so if anyone wants to do a squat, can they see us something?
Well, look at the lady in the rainbow jump. I think we've got Cassie here.
Is that true you have a year?
Just one.
Just the one. Yeah. Have a year. I wanted you to come and say something.
Do you want to say a few words? Cassie is here, she can say a few words.
I'm at Skeelery site, and it's Scotted, Councilman. There's quite a few of us, and it is pretty full. People have been squatting there probably, well, at least in the last 10 years, on and off. Huh? It has been longer. Yeah, it has been longer than that. Council did evict everyone about 6 years ago, put a lovely fence around it, so now we're a gated community. now they're back. The council have come along. A few of us actually went in onto the top road in winter last year, just so we were muddy and, you know, we needed a bit of space between a few of us. It was lovely out there. But the council did come along and they said, "Hey, just move back down the bottom." And we're like, "Why?" Like, "We just want you to." So we'd be like, "We'd be something." That was a sub, you know, in between the lines. Basically, I don't think they want us to move anywhere else because there's that many of us, and then there would be a problem to other people. So we just did, you know, we said, well, they said, we'll do anything you want us to make it better down the bottom for you. But actually, we don't really want them to get involved in what we're doing because then it might draw on more attention, or they might then kind of, you know, say about health and safety, and actually we're kind of okay with how things are. So we just said, look, we're sorted, we just need a bit of help moving a bit of rubbish and bits and pieces, and they were really, really accommodating. They were really sound with us, and we haven't heard word from them since, and we moved on the bottom back. And, you know, I think the council are pleased that we're not much of a nuisance, really. Any questions?
The reason why we had to move from the bottom is because we were visible from Fenton Road, though, weren't we?
We were a little bit visible from Fenton Road, and had been one complaint from the guy at the ski village. Other than that, they didn't know we were there, and that's what they said. They said we wouldn't know we were, so we moved up here. Yeah, there were only a few of us that come up the top, you know, broken away from the masses down the bottom. So. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's really sort of about moving about the space, using the space as you can. You sort of find your patch and you clean it and clear it and keep it tidy as best you can. And you ask your neighbours and your neighbour off being you know, while you're drunk. Hey, it happens. So, any questions? Or have I missed anything out that anyone wants to mention? Good enough. And there's a good enough summary.
But they're squatting bands, so that's quite an interesting, like, another angle on it. I'm not sure what time we've got till. What is the
another 15 minutes?
Okay. I'm finished a bit early again. I don't know, we're hoping for a bit more kind of discussion, but no one wants to say anything. So.
We would like to do another one, but we need more help, because when it came down to it last year, it was really only a very, you know, core group of people, and it just takes up so much energy and so much time and worry, actually, as well, that we just felt like we just didn't have enough support from people. And obviously people have different reasons for being involved, but it needs to be more about the commitment of the event as a whole rather than just the enjoyment of the event.
So
if you sort of say the swan's legs that you can't see paddling under it to make it work, have actually been paddling I've actually been paddling for 4 months before the swan starts moving.
So that's the website.
Yes.
So if you want to get involved, then
asksheffield.org. Artisan Collective Sheffield. I was also going to mention, I've just started having artists galleries on this. Can I show you?
Well, we've got Patrick here, who's one of our main artists who did a Temporary Autonomous Puppets workshop, and he's also doing one out there now.
We're just finding new puppets at the moment. So if there are any other artists who want to get involved with this, as well as actually showing your exhibition, I'd also quite like to talk to you about setting up a page on this. And once you've set one up, you can edit it yourself. It will be taking maybe half an hour to show you how to get a graphic working. And then you can have a gallery page or something like that on this. And I kind of had the idea that if there's a lot of us sharing a gallery site, then we'd actually all do better out of it than if we've got our own personal site. Because then we'd, like, there'll be constantly more stuff going on because there are that many people involved with it.
I'm just going to send this pen and paper around. If you want some more information about the next TAA Sheffield, do you want to write your email down and then we can get you involved? It's a really good mix between learning about squatting, learning about social centres and meeting people and art and fashion and skill sharing, so it's a bit of an all-rounder, really.
Would it be possible to hear a bit more about the Doncaster squad that you've hoping to set up? What would be the aims of the squad?
Let's do with the occupation, like the timing is right. It's a club that's been used since the 60s, it's about to close. And
the sporting's going to be made illegal, so we want to make a sort of skill share, autonomous art space. And I don't think it will last that long. We don't know how many people want to help us.
It's a similar building to the Sumac, so there's a lot of potential.
Yeah,
it's right next to the train station.
Oh, right.
It's got a big courtyard.
I
lived
there.
So if anyone wants to
squat in the room. Can I just ask something?
Yeah.
You mentioned that when you squat the building, it would be ideal to contact the suppliers of electricity, gas, etc., and actually request start paying for it. But that you should avoid using your real name, because otherwise they might bill you for previous years. So how do you handle that exactly?
What I do is I give a fake name. I give a fake name because it's legal, it's not illegal. It's not statutory.
So it's not someone else's name?
Well, I imagine that I would choose anybody that I know. I'd probably pick an obscure name out of a hat or something. A problem that social centre people had when they were squatting that NHS building was that somebody gave their real name and then incurred £1,000 charges against them. There are loopholes. Governments get away with so much doing certain loopholes. You know, there's loopholes in everything, and you use it to your advantage. You're not doing anything illegal. And obviously, a lot of people do pay. I mean, you don't want to be charged for charges that might have been there previously. But again, I mean, not everyone does pay their electricity, but it's a good idea to pay it, because at the end of the day, it's another thing that they could use against you.
So a bit of enforcement before one of Sky mentioned that UK Unfighters and Sheffield Unfighters are organising a...
So can you say that?
I was saying, basically UK Unfighters and Sheffield Unfighters are going to be organising an event in front of Town Hall tonight at 6 p.m. because there are 1,500 people that are going on throughout the world today in support of Occupy Wall Street, and basically this is going to be the Occupy Sheffield event.
And it's going to be outside.
So 6 p.m. Yeah, 6 p.m. outside of Town Hall. That's what I got on Facebook, basically.
Okay. Thank you for sharing.
Anybody wants to tell? Diane is
put your name down.
Just rip that page out.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's the point.
That's what it looks like.
So this is the Doncaster. If there's no other question, I'm not, no one's waiting to say, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.